just a real blessing to be here with everybody, to see each one taking turns, and it's real wonderful. Even Jamie, you know, I'm sure you all are understand she was just excited to even dress up, you know. Come to church. Wow, what a good feeling. So, praise the Lord. So, God bless. Greetings to everyone online. I know Nate read off the list earlier of those who were connected. So, just greet each and every one of you and pray the Lord would bless you tonight as we go through the scriptures with something just on my heart. I just waiting on the Lord, I just seem to, you know, maybe this will be a little bit repetitive, I don't know, but I just, the Lord has had me again just focused on these scriptures and the subject tonight, the thing that I'd like to share to bring out as the best as the Lord will give me grace to do is just our eyesight, vision. What are we watching? What are we looking at? Where are our hearts, even more, maybe more than that? Where are our hearts? Because, you know, that determines so much of the time what we're looking at, what our gaze is. And we live in just, my goodness, what a time we're living in. What an age. What a day. So much turmoil. So much trouble. So much fear. So much division. So much insanity. So much hatred. And guess what? It's not going to get any better. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. So, you know, I think we can be encouraged as believers. We've got the Lord's with us. There's no reason to be dismayed. There's no reason to be discouraged, to be upset. He's with us. He's for us. He's on our side. But again, if we could just stop and examine ourselves, maybe take a little spiritual checkup tonight. Where's my heart? Where's my vision? What am I looking at? Brother Greg, you kind of prayed my message, right? in a nutshell. But again, I think that the world's falling apart. We see that. You know what? There's one answer. She's got to be burned and remade. That's all it comes down to. It's got to go. And it, again, I think it's not going to be pretty. It may be hard to watch, you know, these things. Again, I don't think life is going to get any more enjoyable or comfortable, per se, as time goes on. But in heavenly places, we have rest, we have peace. All is well. Amen. So again, just bear with me tonight as in my simple manner, just as we go through the scriptures. Trust the Lord will maybe minister through these things as we repeat and over ask the same question and examine ourselves. Where's my vision? Where's my heart? What am I looking at? You know, I quoted this last time. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome this world. I also think of the words in 1 Peter chapter 4. Think it not strange. Don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial. There's some intensity. The fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. So, again, we live in a time, and every believer all through time, we're faced with adversity, with turmoil, with difficulty, with challenges. Jesus told the disciples, Luke 17, offenses must come. It's impossible, but they would. He says, but woe unto those by whom it has come. So again, we see these things must be. So let's, as we get started, if you'd stand with me, and we'll open up with, again, it's something I've had on my heart a lot, and we'll just go right back to it. Hebrews chapter 11. And we'll just start there with verse 23, kind of focusing on Moses. There's so many other beautiful types and things we could look at, but I want to focus here. So verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And finally, verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt. Awesome. Not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And then you can be seated. And I just love those words, and I want to meditate on that tonight. Again, dwelling on that. That he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He overcame. He persevered. He pushed through. It was that vision, seeing the eternal, seeing the things that are unseen. And again, as the world around us falls apart, that is how you will overcome. That's how you will endure as well. Seeing him who is invisible. The scripture says, I'm just going to go through some scripture. Some will turn to, some I'll just quote. You can just listen along. But Isaiah 43:2, I love this. It says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle thee. I'm with you. He says, look to me. I'm with you. Have confidence in me, in my presence. With you, I'm bigger. I'm stronger. Don't be afraid. So again, trials, these things must come to pass. But where is our heart? Where is our eyesight? May it be on him and him alone. And to think of this, remember how Brother Branham, he talks about the trials. They're going to do one thing. It's going to produce his character. That which is inside us is brought out. It's expressed. It's manifested through these times in adversity and conflict, in pain, in trouble. It's in those situations that nature gets brought out. This word, his character, his nature, these things that we've received into our hearts, it's growing, it's blooming. But guess what? He wants to see it on display, brought out, projected to the world around us. And it's through, again, through the trials, the battles, the things that we face. So again, where is our heart? Where is our vision? You know, Hebrews tells us, cast not away your confidence in him, that he's with you, that he's for you, that he said that he will do what he said he will do. I love 1 Thessalonians 5 says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Preserved, blameless. And what is the next verse? Faithful is he that calls you, who also will do it. Do you believe that? Do you have that confidence in him? Psalm 138 verse 8 says, he will perfect that which concerns me. Wow. It's his business. Only he is capable. Only he knows. Only he can take care of whatever it is that concerns me. But it's in his hands. He knows. And he is able. Amen. Hebrews 12 says he's the author and the finisher. He's going to complete it. He's going to do his work, the full redemptive process. Philippians 1 verse 6 says, he who began a work, did he start a work in you? And he's going to finish it. He's not going to leave you half done. So again, in all these things, is our confidence in him. What are we looking at? Brother Branham said, this is just, this almost captures my heart, my message, just right in this little statement. So please listen and just put this in your back pockets. Go home with it. He says, when a man once catches the vision of the invisible God and know that he's always present, there is something that stabilizes that man's thinking. Okay? Let me reread that. When a man once catches the vision of the invisible God and knows that he's always present, there is something that stabilizes that man's thinking. It stabilizes his actions. And in the time of distress and trouble, it'll still make him look upward and above the things that are happening around him because he's looking at the unseen. Thank you, Lord. God, direct our hearts more and more into that realm, that reality that we know is there, that these things truly would become more real to us than what we can see and feel and touch this world around us that's going to fail. Okay, let's turn. Let's go through some scriptures as we continue on with this thought. Proverbs chapter 8. I just love this, and I really... Yeah, I just want to meditate on this for a minute. Proverbs 8, verse 34. I talk about, this... I think what a day, what an hour we're living in. You know, so much could be said here, but, talk about overcoming, talk about persevering. And this ties in so beautifully with Hebrews 11, as we read. Verse 34 says, "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors." He's attentive. His heart is fixed. Now let's stop there for just a minute. Blessed is this man. Who? The man that heareth. Heareth. Not heard. Heareth. It's continual. It's ongoing. Hebrews chapter 3. Today, if you will hear his voice, today, each day, every day, every moment, listening, waiting, attentive. He wants, brothers and sisters, your time, your attention, your focus. Blessed is this man, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. So I would just maybe stop here and ask a question. Where are we focused? Where is our eyesight? What are we tuned into? Now, we all face the same battle, the same enemy who constantly tries to rob our attention, divert our eyesight constantly. And I'm thinking Brother Stephen brought out just a few weeks ago, remember how he shared that goldfish have an attention span of 10 seconds. Humans, about for us, it's about 7. God help us. So, again, there's a battle constantly with the information overload, the things that bombard us constantly. And each one of us have different weaknesses and strengths. Each one of us, and what I'm referring to specifically is just this, smartphones. These wonderful, terrible, things. The stuff that's flooding us constantly, it's a battle. So I just, again, want to bring that up. What are we tuned into? Where are our hearts? What are we looking at? Is our hearts and our gaze fixed on him? If we get tuned into the news and current events, you can watch your... it's depressing. So again, let's keep our hearts and our eyes fixed. Let that be in us. Verse 34, "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors." So he desires us, brothers and sisters. He desires our heart. I think what another thing that this speaks so beautifully to me is how much he's desiring you, your time, your attention, your fellowship. He desires you. What are we looking at? And again, one other thing I'll bring out. Dad, you've touched on this so much, but he works on our vision through our hearing. Here it is, right here. "Blessed is the man that has heard." Look at it. His eyes. He's focused. He's fixed. He's attentive. So, just a beautiful thing. But again, where is our heart in all these things? Can't help but go back to Psalms chapter 1. Our attention, our focus. Where is it? Where are our hearts? Let's ask that question. Psalm 1, verse 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight." It's love. It's a love affair. I'm so in love with him. It's not a chore. The meditation, the focus, the concentration is out of love, born out of love. His law, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Lord, help us with that. Psalm 91, verse 14 says, because he set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. Don't you love that? He set his love upon me. Colossians chapter 3 says, if you would turn there, let's... Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth. Reset, reset. About every 7 seconds, reset, reset. I love how in the Amplified Amplified. That same passage there reads, therefore, if you have been raised with Christ to a new life, sharing in his resurrection from the dead, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2 says, set your mind and keep focused habitually on the things above, the heavenly things, not on things which are on the earth, which have only temporal value. It's got to go, brothers and sisters. This world will pass away. It's going to fail. Let go. No wonder our Lord Jesus, he says, take up your cross and follow me. He says, if you save your life in this world, you're going to lose it. Let go of it. Let go of this world. This world's got to fail. Got to pass away. It must. The kingdoms of this world must become the kingdom of our God, of his Christ. We're looking for another kingdom wherein dwells righteousness. There's no chance for anything outside of Jesus Christ in this world. Remember how Brother Branham said, even, you know, you could put a Lincoln, I believe, didn't he say, you could put a Lincoln and a Washington on every corner and it still would not, we've gone too far. There's no hope for it. So again, it's not fun to watch these things. It's not easy. But we have another kingdom, one coming, wherein dwells righteousness, and that's the one we're waiting for, looking for. Amen. Brother Branham said here, this is in the message. Look, I love this. He said, again, just the thought here what are you looking at? He said, Abraham knew that his body was as good as dead, but he considered not his own body. He considered not the deadness of Sarah's womb. As a young girl, he married his half-sister, lived with her all these years, and now she's 90 years old, and he's 100 years old. But he didn't even think about that. That didn't even come into his mind. Why? He had focused out all unbelief. Oh, glory. He said that's what the church should do. That's what each member of the church should do. Would focus out of all doubt and look only at the Word. Let us fix our eyes only on Him. No wonder I love the Scripture. Philippians chapter 4. Let's turn there. May the Lord, as we go through these things again, just reset our hearts, our focus. Philippians chapter 4. You know where I'm going. You know these verses. We'll just start with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Notice verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God. There we go. The peace. What this world seems to know nothing about, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Focus your time, focus your heart, meditate on these things. You know, I've been hearing so much over the time recently about the benefits of fasting. You know, nutritionally, so many benefits to fasting, and I see these verses, and I can't. What about? Do we need a fast from phones and social media and all those things? You know, we just get so, again, plugged in. So all of us, we all, I think, fight these things in different ways, you know. But these things will drag you down and ground you in this world, in this dimension. Let's fix our eyes on Him, on the eternal, the unseen. Amen. Proverbs 29, verse 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Turn with me to Psalm 112, the godly man. This scripture that just, I love this. 112, we'll just read verse 7. The whole thing's beautiful, but it says, verse 7, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Why? His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. Don't you love that? No wonder David, he says, I've put the Lord always before me. Always before me. He's what I'm looking at. My heart is fixed on Him. Now contrast that with James, you know, where James says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Why? There's too many things to look at. He's not focused. He doesn't have that singleness of vision, a singleness of heart. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3 says, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. There we go. Lord, help us every moment, every hour, keeping our hearts and our minds fixed, stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. While we're in Psalms, let's go back to chapter 101. In verse 3, now, you could look at this a number of ways, I think, but let's read it. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. What is wicked? What do we call wicked? What do we allow before our eyes? What do we put our eyes upon that takes our vision away from Jesus Christ? Is that wicked? Is that evil? If it diverts our eyesight away from Him. And I love this. I hate the work of them that turn aside. Lord, help us even tonight. Matthew 6:22 says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. So we mentioned this before, but again, it's a battle. This battle that we face in this hour, great spiritual warfare where the enemy wages war, trying to divert our eyesight, our attention off of Christ through busyness, distractions, so many things. We know that's the work of the enemy. John 10:10 tells us the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. Stealing our peace, stealing our love, our joy, all these things by diverting our attention, taking our eyes off Christ. But the Bible tells us we can take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Also, 1 John 4, verse 1 says, believe not every spirit. So again, think of the things that come into my heart, into my mind throughout the day that direct my focus, that try to inspire fear, try to inspire worry and doubt and discouragement. Those things, watch those thoughts, pay attention to those things, those spirits. Amen. Let's turn to, just winding up here, just a short message here. Hebrews chapter 12. Again, what are we looking at? Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. We'll just read 1 and 2 there. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Oh my. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, Lord, help us. Now, if I can just, you know, again, in my own words here, this battle that we face, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside our smartphones and every Facebook article and news headline that so easily besets us. Lord, help us. It's a battle. I can't help but look at these verses again, back to Proverbs chapter 8. Blessed is the man that hears me. He's listening. Heareth. He's attentive. Watching daily at my gates. Where else does this take you but to prayer? How can we not touch on prayer for just a minute? I think what a necessity more and more in this hour that we live in to be in that constant communion and fellowship and prayer. I just cry out all the time, Lord, help me, teach me to pray in this hour that we're living in. You know, but it's in that place, I believe, of prayer, pressing into the Spirit, listening to that Spirit, listening to that still small voice. Lord, what are your instructions? What did you have me to do? What would you have me to say? Where should I go? I think there's that dependency more and more to the being in that place with Him. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. 1 Timothy 2:8 says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Brother Branham, we've quoted this, but I love it. The healing of Jairus' daughter. Just the previous chapter, we find one place where the Son of God spent so much time in prayer. And if Jesus had to spend much time in prayer to stay in fellowship with the Spirit that was in Him, how much more do you and I have to spend in prayer? Oh, if we only knew what time in prayer meant. Lord, quiet us down. Teach us to be still. He said, you know, the Scripture word says, be still and know that I am God. Be still. I don't think that necessarily means run off. You know, we can't do that. In the midst of all the chaos, in the midst of all the trouble, be still. Still yourself. Still your own thinking. And know that I'm God. Focus on me. So the escape, you know, what's beautiful to me, escaping the trouble, escaping the turmoil, it's always by soaring in the heavenly places with Him. He says, come away, come with me, come into the heavenlies. There's the escape. There, I'm the answer. Come walk with me in heavenly places. It's not that He's going to always right every wrong or correct every obstacle that we face, but He says, come walk with me. Come into the heavenlies. That's what He wants. I believe, brothers and sisters, that place where we're a captive, a prisoner. And a prisoner how? In our attention, in our eyesight, in our hearts. Again, we must examine ourselves. How locked into this dimension am I? How much is it ruling me? How much is it governing me? How much is it driving and dictating my actions and reactions? Where is our heart? Where is our vision? Where's our identity? Am I African? Am I American? Am I English? Am I Democrat? Am I Republican? Or am I a Christian? Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Just a few more scriptures. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. It's coming. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now listen, verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, there we go, that's what we're looking at, look for in new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. There is what we are focused. That's what we're looking to. That's what we're waiting on. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. What are we looking at, brothers and sisters? Where is our vision? Where is our hearts? Where is our eyesight? I think of the words of our Lord Jesus again in the end of John chapter 21 as he asked his disciples, what is that to thee? Follow me. Take my hand. Walk with me. One thing we have to look at, brothers and sisters, him alone. I want to just go share that quote one more time in closing. Excuse me. This is from the Message, Looking at the Unseen. When a man once catches that vision of the invisible God and know that he's always present, there is something that stabilizes that man's thinking. I love that. It stabilizes his actions. And in a time of distress and trouble, it'll make him look upward and above the things that are happening around him because he's looking at the unseen. Amen. What are we looking at, brothers and sisters? Moses. He endured seeing him who is invisible. He could see, he could hear. Amen. And that was his overcoming. That's how he endured through that eternal, long range vision. I think of in Isaiah where it says, you know, thine eyes shall behold the king in his beauty. Your eyes. You will see the land that is very far off. Amen. Come away. Fix your eyes on Christ. Fix your eyes on the eternal. Let go of this world. It's got to pass away. Fix your eyes on him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just again, we want to bless your name, Lord. We thank you for this, the time that we're living in, Lord. We know that you are perfectly in control. Lord, we know that you're with us. And Lord, I think for the believer, it's an exciting time. But Lord, as we tonight looking at these things, we do ask, Father, that you would just help us. You'd clean us out of clutter, distractions, Lord. All the things of this life that seem to get our attention scattered and get us frustrated, get us grounded. Lord, would you elevate us in our affections, even as we read there in Colossians chapter 3. Set your affections on things above, Lord. Would you do that tonight in your people as we close up now and we worship you? Would you go out and minister, work in the hearts of your people? Do that work, Lord. Just direct their gaze, fix their eyesight on you, Lord. Grant it, we pray. Grant, do this work of just refocus, recalibration, as it were. We need you, Lord. We love you. We want more of you. And Lord, truly, that it would be just a love affair, that as we read in Psalms chapter 1, that, Lord, our delight would be in you, Lord. Our eyes would be single. Grant it, Father, we pray. Ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let's just sing that song. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Seven. Yes, it is 77 in the Holy Blade. Bless you all.